You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks.
Prince Albert, the wrestler, is a big, big, hefty dude
with a bunch of piercings,
bunch of tattoos, whatever. You didn't get that? I need that even as a.
Why would I get that? Why would like 12-year-old Walter get that reference?
Was this? Exactly.
Late '90s.
Late '90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I was like I'm, you know, Stampede crossover to WWF when we finally had those cable channels
Are
available.
You from Out West?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh shit. Well, this is what the podcast is gonna be about. Yeah.
So people tuning in.
Now we're going now.
Now we're going now.
Now we're going now.
Yeah. We are with
Walter. Got excited about wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
And now we're
now that Walter's in like into the fucking podcast. We're here with but Pat Pierce as your piercing name.
Yeah, that
who
is.
I met as Pat Smear Dribblin, which is a derby name.
Yeah, you got my derby shirt on today.
Shit.
For the record, your name is not actually Pierce.
It is not. No,
it is not.
No.
All right. I only understood that way too close to the time of the actual podcast.
Yeah.
I think I clarified that with Keith coming down here. It's like,
he's like, is his name
this seems like
Pierce?
Too much of a coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I used to work for National Defense, like as a computer guy at the headquarters, and there was like an artillery colonel there, and no shit, no word of a lie, his last name was Gunn. Colonel Gunn, G-double-N. I used to go over there and teach him how to use the intranet, but yeah. Yeah, I kind of thought maybe I should be like a PEA just to make it look like it's my real name, but no.
Pierce? Yeah, Pierce is usually... PEA, right?
Yeah, it depends, though. There are actually some real... I see the... being a Saskatchewan boy, I see the farmers...
Isn't Pierce Brosnan P-I-E-R-C?
P-I-E-R-C?
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan's like that, yeah, but you can have P-E-A-R-C. Pierce, like Guy Pierce, is like as a last
name.
Yeah,
the last
P-E-A-R.
Name is more so, I think. But I think, yeah. I've seen the other way. I've seen my way as well.
But what's the traditional spelling of Remington, though?
Remington?
Remington.
R-E-M-M-I...
NG. It doesn't matter. It's okay.
Oh.
It's a stupid joke.
You're an asshole.
I know.
So, anyway, Pat Pierce, owner, operator of...
Studio Mauve Body Arts officially, but we're just called Mauve on our sign.
On
the
sign, which is located in beautiful Gay Village, Montreal, right across from Priap, which is your dream location, if I remember
It's kind of funny. Yeah, that's weird that you actually... Yeah, because, I mean, I used to tell people all the time that the only place I'd ever open in Montreal is in... the village across the street from Priap and the Eagle. And one day, wandering down the street in late November, I saw a for rent sign and I was like, no shit.
So was your...
Yeah,
your
so it just kind of had to happen, you know. I guess that wasn't really it, but you know, yeah.
And why was this your dream location? What was...
You know what? Because, I mean, piercing has its roots in, you know, gay leather bar scene. You know, and it's just the village has never really had, a stable studio where, you know, people who are really into, like, advanced kinky piercings can actually have them done.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah, it was just, you know.
Well, that's kind of what sets you guys apart, though, right? Is the fact that you were, like, this specialty piercers. Well, not
well
say,
yeah,
not specialty,
I guess so.
I mean, like, you can do everything. And probably, probably do,
sure.
But I mean, but it's like whenever I read up on you guys with your like the highest certification possible in terms of like sterilization and cleanliness and all that stuff, it's like if I don't personally have the desire for anybody to ram metal through the junk, but if I did, I'd be like, I'm gonna go to that place because they have all the certification.
I gotta say, I second that. as soon as I want to get a penis piercing, I'm coming here.
Yeah.
But it could even be an ear lobe. It could be something simple as
this. Yeah, and that's we were talking about that earlier before we started rolling, that you're like, the same cleanliness as applied to, like, a cock or a vagina is also done on your face or whatever. So.
Oh, well, there should never be any difference ever in any way you approach the hygiene factor or your safety factor. Like, I mean, I remember the big question I used to pose to people I was training, just, you know, to do, you know, tool cleaning and stuff like that. And I would just, like, test them and say, well, okay, the person who is just here identified as having hepatitis C, so how are you going to take care of those tools now? Like, and it would confuse people, and I don't see why it would be confusing, because if you're not doing the same thing every time for everybody, whether they identify as having any kind of bloodborne disease or not, then what are you doing? Like, you know, it's like,
yeah, it should be,
can't be like, oh, I'll put on the extra clean, you know, operation today, you know?
Like,
yeah, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's always the same. Like,
today I'll wash my hands.
Yeah, today I'll wash my hands with the real soap, not
yeah,
the,
exactly.
You know, yeah, for sure.
I'll get all the way to Z when I'm singing ABC this time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is a real fucking thing.
What?
Not washing your hands. I was reading this, like, article, whatever. Apparently when you flush the toilet, like, if you take a shit,
poop goes everywhere,
and you don't
shut
it down. Like,
micro
spray. There's like a 10-foot high micro spray.
Yeah, I read that article. I read an article like that once, and since then it's like that lid goes down every time.
Well,
like,
we're taught.
Away!
We're taught in our bloodborne pathogens class 20 feet, and that, of course, as a derby referee, I think I can still kind of say that. You know, that has a special meaning too. But anyway,
there you go.
I digress. But yeah, yeah.
Did you ref at all this year?
I did. I did a few games. Okay. Maybe 50% of the derby days. No, maybe about 60 or so. But yeah, I had to step aside for quite a few, you know.
Let's clarify what we're talking about.
Oh,
here.
Roller derby.
I know, but just for the sake of what we're...
Yeah, I said I met him through roller derby at the beginning.
Was
of the
that
show.
On? All yeah. right. I was
yeah.
listening. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I met Pierce, through roller derby. Where
right.
I
think in Ottawa we met. I remember, like, trying to get you and your girlfriend. I was trying to convince you to get matching some sort of bizarre, genital work.
He was having, like, a Valentine's Day special.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
He
yeah,
was like,
a Valentine's
isn't her genital piercing?
Hey.
Buy one, get one 50% off or whatever it was.
Yeah.
We're like, ah, you. Yeah. How was that life not after derby, but, like, transitioning out? Did you miss it?
Well, of course, but I've been too busy to really do anything else except focus on my business. So, unfortunately, like, it's not like I've been like, oh, there's this gap in my life because I'm not going to derby practice now all the time, or going to derby games, because I've just been totally preoccupied and with everything here.
Now, are we talking about the male derby league, or?
What's that? I was a referee.
You're the head ref now, too. If I'm
not. Well, I mean, for a lot of games, not this season that just passed, but the season before, that's what the job I had at the games was head reffing. So, yeah. But not as the head officials coordinator or anything like that. I was...
You're just...
Yeah.
You were just the figurehead.
Yeah,
figurehead of authority.
Yeah.
Which is great, because you love yelling at women.
Yeah, you know.
I'm sorry. That might have been Walter giving me a bit of.
As I'm wearing my Vagine Regime queer roller derby hoodie, I mean, geez.
Pierce has probably the best "don't give a fuck" ref attitude ever, though. Like, it's just like occasionally, like, if you look at some of the refs, like Patricide will always try to explain the call. JP always tries to explain the call. I've seen Pierce just be like, just sort of like, oh, that's the call now. Fucking go away. You know, it's just
well,
sort of like,
yeah, I guess it depends, you know. I mean, I won't coach people on the track,
yeah, exactly.
That's for sure. No, yeah. there's nothing going on with that. But yeah. No, you know. Game on, let's move, you know. I tried to tell you guys, you know. Yeah. Try to skate over and let you know what the 25-minute timeouts were all about.
That was always nice. That's always the best when we're like, what's going on? Walter, I also realized that we fucked up.
What do we fuck up?
I have no idea what Joey's question was. Nothing? You got nothing?
We'll talk. And every once in a while, when I'm not talking, I'll try to think of it. I think...
You'll try to think of it?
I feel like it's at the tip, because I was sober for that
one. It's something Canadian,
so.
Right? It's something Canadian. I can download it, and I can figure this out. Anyway, yeah. Don't worry about it. We do a bit at the end, where our guest from the past asks you a question.
You know what?
And then you ask our guest.
You know what? I'm going to text...
Is it like a mystry guest? Like, is it kind of like, you know, this
well,
is
no,
your
we don't
life?
Know who our next guest is.
Okay.
Ever. Like, so you ask a question... We'll tell you who asked.
I'm not being rude here. I'm just trying to sort this out.
Our last guest on the show was Joey Elias. So, he will have asked you a question. We just don't have it fucking written down because I fucked up. This is great podcasting right now. talking about how much we fucked up.
Yeah, well, you know, it's because it's a pretty slick operation we got going here. I don't know if you could tell that, Pat.
Yeah, it's pretty technical.
You see all these? There's a bunch of frames up here in Pat's piercing
certifications.
We have a lot. Basically, the same amount for podcasting.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
excellent.
We have about that many.
Are you seriously going to text Joey?
No. Okay, no. I'm going to text Catherine.
Have her listen to
the end of it. And get back to me.
Nice. So here's a couple questions that I like.
Yeah, Keith, think over.
That I was thinking about. Piercings I get. I had my tongue pierced for a really long time.
Did you really?
Yeah. And I actually had, as the piercer, I forget who it was. It was a good one. It was like the guys formerly from Black Sun, after Black Sun closed down. And they were always...
Well,
Black Sun.
It depends. That's, I mean, I learned from Pierre Black of Black Sun, but I mean, working there was Azel, and he still is piercing, so maybe that's who would have pierced you. There was a guy named James Jamerson. His tattoo portfolio is right there.
Pierre.
Would have been Pierre at Black Sun.
Yeah.
No.
Either way, that we wanted to come up with I have a pretty long.
Wow, look at that. Seriously.
So there were like instantly was like multiple holes?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
like trying to figure out a way.
Four, five.
To I missed it. Holy shit.
Yeah, seriously.
The fuck, dude? That was surprising.
Yeah.
Keith has a really long tongue.
That's what she said.
For everybody that's not, can't see this.
So he was like.
The visual aid.
I had to feign surprise. I kind of knew that.
The visual aid for this podcast just has to be used to your tongue at. Like,
so yeah, no, wanted to have like a hoop through also, like possibly.
Okay.
Like there was a bunch of stuff. Never got around to doing it, but
yeah.
It was just sort of like interesting. Had that. Had both my nipples done, which I still have. But I've never thought about getting anything near my ass or my junk or whatever. And you do that. I mean, we're looking it through your portfolio.
Yeah.
Pretty frequently. Like, you were saying out of body experience, like when people. Get it going
well,
through.
To be perfectly honest, when people are getting any piercing through the glands, the head of the penis, I've always been quite shocked at their resolve when getting it done. It's actually less of a reaction than I get from piercing someone's lip or eyebrow or anything like.
Right, because those are wim piercings.
Well,
more
I mean,
so.
You know, I don't want to necessarily say that because pain is kind of relative to the person, but generally speaking. You know, a big needle through the penis is probably going to be more painful than a smaller one through,
your
eyebrow.
You got to figure there's a lot of mental preparation going on.
Yeah.
There, though,
yeah,
right?
That's the thing is that's maybe it. Like you were saying, you're sort of like the resolve is there where you're sort of like, oh, whatever, like an eyebrow piercing, like I could do that on a whim.
Yeah.
You're like a fucking, like, what kind of gauge do you usually put through?
Usually 8 or 6 gauge.
Okay. So that's, do you not know gauges?
I have no idea what that means.
The closer to zero is.
Well, like, it's kind of hard with like to help you visualize what's showing you, but I mean, you know, your average eyebrow piercing might be like a millimeter and a half, just a little bit over, like
right.
14
like,
gauge,
right?
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas this, like an 8 gauge, is like 3 mils.
Whoa.
Just over 3 mils, you know, and then you get into 6, that's around 4. Like we're talking pretty big.
It's big.
Like 6 is kind of the general, you know, like that's.
What's now, not that I'm not, and I'm really regretting these questions the further I go
as
with this, but I,
more
curiosity here. Why does the gauge need to be bigger for a genital piercing like that?
Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be as big as 6, but I would say definitely like, you know, for a lot of them, 10 and stuff like that, because you want to like. Make sure that there's not going to be any tearing.
Right.
You know, like we like to call it the cheese cutter effect, if you kind of think of those old wire cheese cutters.
That's
with
a great
any piercing.
Visual.
Yeah. Yeah. One place you don't want that to happen is in the genitals. You
right, because there's expansion going on there sometimes.
Yeah, any amount of pressure, and if
right.
it's just too small, you know, like for sure.
You know, so I think there'd be a certain visual aesthetic, too, that like when it's soft, you still want to see it, right? And if you have a small enough gauge...
Yeah,
you get like wrinkled dick around it, and you'd be like, "Oh, I have my dick pierced. Let me fold back the show."
Stop,
you.
Stop.
I'm just saying. This is like, you know, I'm thinking about it.
Now,
have to be
is there anything? Is there anything like? Is there anything you won't do? Is there anything? Have you ever turned down a request?
Yeah. Yes. dumb piercings that don't heal and are dangerous. Eyelids. Totally stupid.
Eyelids?
Yeah, like somebody posted this online, and I mean, I get it, fine, whatever, they want to push the envelope, but they're dumb piercings that I, in my opinion, that can risk all sorts of problems.
And how does that? How does an eyelid piercing not scratch directly against the cornea?
Well, exactly.
Like, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, there was even, you know, a piercer, you know, I can't, oh yeah, we're recording, can't say that. But, you know, in another town who had done that and was, like, boldly showing his portfolio, but I mean, that's just dumb. Like, I mean...
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's not a good piercing, you know. Yeah,
I was thinking more along the lines of like genital piercings, but like,
I'm trying to think if I've ever actually refused any. Not really, because I mean, it's more so things that aren't going to work or aren't going to heal well,
right?
You know, but for example, like surface anchors, microdermals, not a genital piercing, but those are generally very unstable, and some people might have them snagged or pulled out after like. A few months, half a year or two. The lifespan on them is really about 3 years. But they're awesome and they're really
flexible.
That's
when you get, like, metal under the skin?
Just like a little dot. Like, it's you see a single, like, disc or gem that somebody has in a weird place. Yeah. And, I mean, those I don't refuse. But I sit there and I'll tell people for a good half hour or so why they're a bad idea. And then if they make that educated choice after, you know. But I mean,
what happens to it when they lose it? It just like disappears into the body and.
Oh no 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 no! It comes out. It gets snagged. Just the way that they sit in there, you know,
okay.
it's not stable. And plus, it's just it's just a hole in the skin as opposed to a channel that a piercing makes. So at least you can kind of wash that in the shower, and you know, once it's healed, you don't have to keep worrying about lint getting stuck in there. But
see, what is the weirdest? Like, have you ever had someone where you're sort of like, did someone ever come to you with something you hadn't thought of, and you were like, oh shit, like, be it like kinky, be it just abnormal, be it like,
yes, yes, and I can't believe I remembered this, but this was around the time that I met some of the like legends of extreme body modification, like there's my little diploma from doing some training with them. But anyway, the reason why I mentioned them is just because I thought one of them would be intrigued, and I sent him his way. But this guy was asking me, he wanted me to implant a tube all the way from underneath his ear and have it coming way down, like out into his chest somewhere, so that he could wear like his headphones for his like iPod or whatever while he was working, but no one would see the headphone hanging out, so he could just secretly have it and work. And like, he was so serious about it, like he was so passionate, and like he was like, he'd really thought this out. And I was just trying to tell him, like, this is not something a person in any shop is gonna do. Like, this is not like, this is like space age, well, not space age, but you know what I mean, this is a serious, like, you know, you're talking about having a tube installed.
A tube under the skin.
Like, yeah, under the skin.
With like a little hole opening that it comes
just
out.
So his headphone would be able to go there so people at work wouldn't know that he was listening to music while
couldn't
he was
Couldn't just
working.
Get like a little Bluetooth piece or something, you know? Like,
well, I mean,
couldn't grow his hair out a little
bit. I kind of suggested, but no, that wasn't it. You know? So I would say that's weird. Like, I mean, yeah, getting, you know, I don't find people coming in and wanting multiple, you know, eight, like, you know, vaginal piercings in one session. I don't really find that kind of stuff weird, but something like that. I mean, I guess I don't really find it weird, but it's just an unusual request, so to speak. So,
I know that one of the things that's getting big now, maybe it's I've only heard about it recently. Maybe it's been big for a while. I don't know. The corset piercing thing.
Oh, it's been around for a while. Those are all temporary, but yeah.
What do you mean they're temporary?
Oh, you just put them in and you take them out. Like, I mean, they're not. They don't heal. Like, I don't want to say they don't heal, but I mean, those are not intended to be permanent piercings.
Okay, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And have you done any of those? Or?
Yeah, not for a long time though. You know,
those look kind of.
Yeah, they
cool.
look neat. They're nice
they look
photo
neat,
things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they, play piercing stuff.
It seems like it's begging for an infection though.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. It's like I say, it's generally not
kept.
About here?
Yeah,
you
know?
yeah. We're talking about like down the back where there's
multiple. They link them with like ribbons and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
no, it's they're neat. They're really artistic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the play piercing stuff, for sure, you know.
And player piercing would be just like something that you're just sort of like a temporary?
Yeah, if you see the Piercages book there, there's a few in there that we've done some fun stuff, even
looking
like
visual aids on a podcast.
Yeah, visual aids. He'll have to describe them. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's there. I don't really consider myself very talented in play piercing, because I mean, I just don't do design work like that. I do it from time to time, and it's it's like a lot of fun. Like you can create, like here, you know, there's like you can create effective. You put 100 piercing, you know, temporary piercing needles into somebody, and I, you know, and then you just leave them there to create their own design, you know, and yeah, it's great. You can do all sorts of stuff, and then wrap different color ribbon and all that kind of stuff. That's really practiced a lot more in the. You know, in the fetish scene, the BDSM world, there are a lot of really, really talented people doing a lot of neat stuff with play piercing, you know?
Is that Zombie Boy?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, back before he became... what's her name? Gaga's boy.
I recognize him from the back.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. You recognize Zombie Boy from the back?
Yeah, from the tats, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
Good times.
Yeah, no, that was actually the other girl who was there. Like, I did some piercing for them. They, like, her and Zombie and another girl had done a flesh pull protest against the Monsanto when there was this protester here in town. So I did...
flesh pull protest.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that exactly what it sounds
like? I know
exactly
what all
those
words mean, but I feel
It was like some hooks through their skin, and the three of them were kind of... They were all tied together, so the three of them were pulling away from each other. And, yeah, it wasn't really scripted at all. They were just kind of doing something. And, right. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, that's what it was for.
And you mentioned you're from Saskatchewan originally.
Yeah, I am. Right? Yeah, small town outside of Saskatoon.
Hence the nostalgia for the Canadian club.
Yeah, you know, it's I actually used to hate Rye when I was young. I liked it for a while. I liked I was a Weiser's Deluxe guy.
Oh, wow.
And then, I don't know, Canadian Club was always just evil. And then, I don't know, I stopped drinking rye for a long time. I just had bad, I don't know, it was like I was traumatized. And now it's like I'll go and I'll get 5-star, I'll be all excited about it, you know?
You say it's 5-star?
Oh, I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. 5-star is pretty,
yeah.
Pretty rank.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty intense stuff.
Do we have any word, Walter? Did you get an answer?
Oh yeah, I got the answer. So like, okay, we'll be going to get to that. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I don't want to say it now because
no.
We'll spoil the surprise.
No, because I hate to direct.
Walter loves wrestling though.
I hate to direct the podcast towards wrestling. How did you know I was going to wrestling?
Yeah, really. It's like
I know because it's like if he even has like the tiniest little bit of like a taste.
No, just because I just thought it was interesting. You mentioned before that we were talking about the wrestler Prince Albert. I was asking if you were into wrestling at all, and you mentioned Stampede Wrestling,
right?
And I just finished a couple months ago Bret Hart's autobiography. And
okay,
obviously the Stampede Wrestling is. Did you ever?
Oh yeah, totally.
When you lived in the area, did you go out and see some events and stuff?
No. It was never around Saskatoon.
Did they make it out to Saskatoon? But you saw the televised.
I actually saw WWF at one point in Saskatoon. I distinctly remember Jake the Snake having his pants pulled down in the ring. And you could see his bum for real. It was pretty crazy. Like, it was pretty, you know.
Bum for real.
The 80s, man. It was weird. The weirdest request things remind me about the tattoo, and I'll tell you guys later. But,
hold that one.
You'd watch, Stampede so on TV, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Hito Mukha Singh, you know.
Love Jake the Snake. Like,
Jake the Snake was cool.
He was, like, my dad's guys were Hacksaw. And Jake the Snake.
Oh yeah,
those are my dad's those are my dad's guys. Like, which was like he was never like a Hulk fan, never a Warrior fan.
Yeah, I was a fan of Hillbilly Jim actually.
Yeah,
that guy was Hillbilly
Jim. I could get behind Jake the Snake though. I remember thinking Jake the Snake was kind of badass.
He was cool.
He was a snake.
Especially when it got towards like the mid 90s, and he sort of lost his physique or any physique that he ever had, and he was just like paunchy middle aged guy that would like bust out a snake from a sack.
Man, PETA would be all over their asses now. Like just have a snake in a bag.
Well,
they always had
the Wranglers next to.
I'm not saying that it was necessarily unsafe. I'm just saying that they just kept the snake in the bag for fucking 20 minutes during a match.
Yeah,
it's just like in a dark bag.
I'm sure that snake was treated a lot better than most of the wrestlers.
That snake was probably coked out of its fucking mind. have you ever seen the documentary Beyond the Mat?
No.
If you're at all interested in kind of seeing like a. Fucked up behind the scenes of how awful some of these wrestlers' lives got and stuff.
Right, right.
Like particularly Jake the Snake Roberts.
Particularly Jake the Snake Roberts with have you seen the movie The Wrestler?
Mm-hmm.
He's the wrestler,
it's very much very much Jake the Snake Roberts.
Okay.
Like, up to and including the phone calls with his daughter while he's on meth, in a fucking hotel room. Like It's a good documentary, though. Huh. Like,
so what's this? What's this about the tattoo now?
Oh,
do you do any tattoo work yourself?
No, I don't do tattoos at all.
You got people for that, though.
Yeah. I've got an artist right now who's got a really unique. Well, I guess it's unique enough style. Definitely, I guess it's very French influenced, like a lot of like paintbrush, black and red kind of stuff. Like it's kind of, it's not just your standard, like every day, everywhere you look now, there's, you know, certain types of tattoos and every shop is offering them. And it's just variations of that for a lot of the stuff you see. What he's got is, it's
like
different, you know,
Ed Hardy t-shirts basically.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, I don't want to sit here and trash the industry I work in, but you know, there's always trends. And I mean, it's great because without trends and popularity, none of us would be able to do this kind of job anyway, yeah, you know? But yeah, you know, it's just when you're in the scene, it's kind of, you get tired of seeing, you know. It's like, hey man, I got tribal tattoos and I hate them. Like, I mean, I got them in the 90s and the early 90s and they were all the new and cool whatever, and now it's just, oh my god, where's the cheese grater, you know?
Yeah. I actually have a really cool idea for a tattoo. I don't know if this has actually been done yet, if anybody's ever asked it.
Is it a nautical star?
No.
Okay.
I was going to talk about that later actually, but I don't just, you know, stop me here if it's been a barcode. Like a barcode right in the back of your neck. Or
oh,
something.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I've seen that before.
Do people get barcode tattooed? Yeah. That'd be nuts.
It's psychotic. Huh. You know what it would be like? It would be like Slipknot. Huh. It would be a lot like Slipknot.
Did they do that?
That was Slipknot. It was their album that made that popular, right?
Oh, I have like, no idea. I've seen them a lot.
No, like, I know, but it was their album, which is like the back of one of their heads with the barcode tattoo on the back. And that's when I think
Douglas Cooper.
Well, I mean, I don't know,
fuck,
like.
So dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. I could see being awesome, like maybe like from like 1997 to 1998, 90s maybe.
Yeah,
like that. I think that would be my biggest. That's actually one of the things that's prevented me from getting a tattoo. Is I'm like, tattoos that I thought were awesome. Like if I had ever gone through with it, I would have like learned to love them and would have been fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like stuff that I was like, I really wish I had gotten it.
Yeah.
But then I didn't get it. Like, and I don't regret not having it. So I kind of know that it wasn't. Well, I guess, like, meant to be.
Yeah.
And especially, but that's always would have been one of my concerns, is, like, you don't do a trend.
Well, stand-up, like, I know, who's got, like, a full... Sorry, I can take up. He's got a full sleeve, and, you know, I was asking him about them one day, and he says, I hate half of them now.
Oh, yeah,
like,
of course.
He's had them for about, like, I don't know, 6-7 years. He's like, I don't like these anymore. And,
yeah.
And it was, you know...
Well, it's got the hiccups. It's horrible. Yeah. You're gonna get a water.
Well, I mean, they do talk about the piercer's arm now, and it's, you know, it's the joke is it's the disease affecting piercers, right? And what it is like full black tattoos on your arm, because that's what happens. People are like, well, I don't like my tattoos anymore. I'll just black them all out. Solid black arm. So, and like, I guess, you know, it's just a lot of piercers have it. So, you know,
just a black,
but I like
sleeve.
The idea, you know, have a solid black arm and then, you know, you do some scarification, do some skin removal in there and make a new design. It's tribal. I shouldn't joke about this. Oh, I do tribal scarification for people. I mean, I don't mind doing,
well, if
what
the person
people
wants
like,
it, the person
you
wants
know,
it,
yeah. Well, there's a lot of artists that are well established in the field that, they only do specific styles. For me, you know, I'll help people get what they want. You know, I mean, why would I judge somebody who wants a tribal scarification when I'm not judging somebody who wants a piercing with a color of jewelry I don't like? You know,
yeah, exactly.
How do you feel about the whole trend, like the whole, you know, celebrity piercer tattooer trend, like the Kat Von D shit and all that stuff? Like, and you know, all the A&E shows. How do you like? I mean, what do you feel about that?
I've actually never seen any of them, which is kind
it's okay,
of
neither
funny.
Have I,
but like, I think once, like before I was even in this industry, I tried, but I have no idea. Honestly, I'm sure it's just totally overrated garbage. Like, you know, I would imagine.
But like, do you view it as like, oh, this is like sellout bullshit, or oh, this is going to help the business?
Well, you know, I guess I would say I'm like, yeah, I'm more of a, yeah, this would help the business, because I do know a lot of people that are like, oh, yeah, she's fucked and she sucks and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, well, who cares? Don't watch it. Like, who cares? It's just, it's TV. You know what I mean? I mean, they'll make reality shows about anybody. So, but at the end of the day, it's like, I don't really think they're any kind of sellout. Like, I mean, I think pretty much, Well, I don't know. Maybe not anybody, but you know, I mean, I'm sure the amount of money a person would get just to have their work and their, you know, their life televised is probably a payout that most people would probably take.
Someone,
I don't know. Someone was like,
"Hey, want to make a TV show of the
but
podcast?"
It certainly helps the industry.
Down,
yeah,
super down. The same thing. I'm sure if they wanted to like film you guys, whatever,
it'd just be you and I fighting 90% of the time.
Yeah,
fuck you, Keith.
No, but that's what the
I'd be worried about the
are.
Exposure. Yeah, no. Like, you know, I don't want people to. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, of course. And I mean, that's just it. It's like a lot of people are like, oh yeah, you know, there's all of these, you know, shows now, and now everybody just wants this or everyone just wants that. But it's like at the end of the day, in today's world, like you can make a pretty good living doing this kind of work. Like, I mean, I'm running a studio more or less on piercing alone, and it's like I'm shocked renting a place in St. Catherine that keeps me alive. And of course, you know, that navel piercing back for the Aerosmith video way back in the 90s, what started the whole trend of, you know, non-freak people getting their bodies pierced. I mean, it's kind of
the same thing
as what's happening, you know, like it's...
Are you referencing a specific
Yeah, person? Yeah, there was like a, what was it?
Was it the one with Liv Tyler in the video?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that. Yeah, and I mean,
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That video.
And I mean, that was one thing we talk about at the Pearson conference. You know, it's just that's kind of a pivotal movement moment in time where like suddenly everybody boom had to have their navel pierced because of that video. And oh my God, is that a shitty thing? No, it's great because I mean, hey, now we're in business.
So many
one thing that sucks though about all of this stuff is it gets so popular. The hacks problem is it's like a disease in the industry. But I mean, what are you going to do about that? Like, I mean, you know,
are navel piercings even painful? Because I'm starting to suspect they're not even painful, like at all.
Well, put it this way: I'm one of the piercers who thinks that, and I just recently changed my mind about piercing children. Forever, I wouldn't pierce children. And one of my friends is really pissed off at
me
because
let's
like 7-year-old kids, 4-year-old kids, 10-year-old kids, whatever. I just
their parents bringing them in asking for what kind of stuff, like
ear
piercings.
Yeah, just your standard ear piercing.
You won't even do ear piercings to little girls.
I wouldn't. Really? I wouldn't.
Why not?
And only... you see a lot of babies with their ears pierced, even like babies.
Well, exactly, and I mean,
yeah, no,
I
but
just,
that's
just,
I mean, I mean, I knew a lot of Italians, so yeah.
Exactly, and that's just it. And I had a lot of like issues with. I just didn't want to do it. I just felt that, you know, it's the risk of infection for kids because, you know, they're going to touch them, blah blah blah. And you know what? I just changed my mind. I recently did, and a lot of my friends are pissed off at me because they wanted their kids. But you know, it's like. Geez, I don't know. There's a point there somewhere, but anyway, it's like, you know, I at this point, I've come around and changed the idea because I would rather pierce a 4-year-old kid with ASTM certified implant grade titanium in an environment where I'm using sterile gloves, sterile jewelry,
than like
everything.
A fucking guy in a mall.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, you know, like
which is where it normally happens,
and that's where parents will go. Yeah. I pierced a 3-year-old's ears yesterday with her mom, who's a lawyer. She came in and she was totally shocked by the process. She's like, what, you're not just going to bang, bang with a gun? And I explained to her, like, you know, all of the problems with such a thing and, you know.
Did you bust out
totally
the old
turned her around.
Potato and needle?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She ended up with a needle, yeah. But, I mean, I even actually now
you don't
offer,
know,
you know.
You don't know about this? This is, like, back in the day, like, when, like, girls and shit used to, like, you know, pierce each other, like. You guys use a bar of soap or a potato. You put a potato or a bar of
pressure,
soap back there. When you don't have the shit to do it properly, tell them what I'm talking about.
Like a potato.
Yeah, you know, like you put the potato behind the ear so that catches the – so you have something to be like thrusting
you.
Your –
I'm wondering how you know this.
I think my mom told me about that.
Okay. He's got some pretty massive lobes,
like you have a
too.
Sister. You have a sister, though.
Could do some good work with those lobes.
Yeah, I got cauliflower lobes, man.
Yeah. Get them stretched.
My sister doesn't even have her ear pierced.
Let's start the – I know, but you still had a sister.
Yeah.
I mean, at least some – can you get your ear stretched?
Well, I need stretches in my goddamn, like, Prince Albert ears, man.
Yeah.
Not Prince Albert. No, I'm stuck on Prince Albert now. On the Prince.
You're
of
from Quebec, right?
Prince Chuck. Am I from Quebec? Yes.
Okay. Why? He called them stretches.
He called them stretches.
Yeah. As opposed to?
I don't know. There's weird, like, like no, there's the weird term? Names for things that piercers don't give.
Ear assholes.
In Quebec, these are called stretches for some reason. Like, big stretched ears are called stretches.
Yeah.
Anywhere else, people call them gauges, and both of these terms are wrong. Like, because they just don't mean anything. They're like, have you guys ever heard of the bites piercings?
Nope.
Oh, I've got spider bites or what are they? Shit, I don't know. Spider bites, snake bites, dolphin. Okay, well, then it doesn't matter. Okay. But it's just a lot of, like, these are cutesy little names that non-piercers give things.
Okay.
It's kind of the same thing. Like, do you like my gauges? Well, like, that's like a you know, people come in. Do you have any gauges? I need something for my gauges. You know, it's
what
like,
are the bites referred to?
And stretches. Oh, I don't, well, it's like mostly lip piercings. There's like, you know, yeah. I know that like, I think spider bites are two lip piercings on one side, like the lower lip, yeah. And snake bites are one on each side of the lower lip. And this is really bad, being a professional piercer, that I can't even sit here and rattle these off. But the thing is that we don't give them those names.
Yeah,
because like, you know,
Patricide had them through here.
Yeah, had? He doesn't have them anymore? Well, he has the vertical labrets there, though, so...
I think I
haven't seen for a while, so... Yeah.
Anyway, either way, and someone came up and dropped one of those terms on him, and he was like, what?
Yeah, yeah, well, because they wouldn't be... That would be a wrong term anyway.
Yeah, he just had no idea what the fuck he was... There. Yeah. He was just like, what's
going on? I noticed
one
trend that seemed to have died out was, like, for... There was a good, like, 3-4 years there where a lot of teenage girls were getting the side mouth...
Cheeks.
The cheeks.
Oh, yeah. No, that's still kind of
popular.
Mouth, yeah,
a.k.a.
Yeah.
The cheek. Yes, very
I'm
good,
not even
sir.
Looking for
you
the medical
your,
term.
You and your lingo. The cheeks. You know, the side mouth. No, but like, but that seems to have died down a little bit.
A bit, and gladly so, because those leave such horrible, like, they
yeah,
don't leave a dimple.
No.
It's like a crater.
Yeah.
Like, I actually count, again, that's another thing that I will do. I mean, I don't do this piercing unless I've had like a counseling type consultation with somebody. I'll sit there. I will show them multiple pictures of the craters that happens and tell them the surgery that really needs to be involved to repair those craters. And I'll go through
surgery,
that all.
Like an actual surgery?
Well, I mean, like there's extreme body modification artists who can do good well, like Sampa Von Cyborg, who I've done a small amount of training with. He's kind of like the best at repairing those. But still, even after that, there's still a slight dimple,
right?
You know,
I could
imagine. But I mean, who can afford to have somebody from England come fly over and fix them? I mean, you know what I mean? It's
right.
Like you need some. Like it's one of those piercings that is just wrong. There's a lot of possibility of complications. But after all of that goes down, if the person still is adamant about doing it, I will do it for them.
There was a lot of girls that had those.
It's just it's also too a bit about placement. You don't put them so far and high, you know. Like there's all sorts of
they were all
you know,
over the places too. Like
yeah, and that's where
it seems lower down. And
yeah,
sometimes you'd seem
exactly.
Like way the hell up high on the face,
and that's a really bad spot, way up high. But yeah, you know, I just again, it's all about letting people make informed decisions. I mean, it's yesterday a girl was calling me, asking me if I do a microdermal surface anchor on her finger, and I'm like, well, you don't want it.
I don't even understand what that is.
That's one of those piercings we were talking about before where it's just like one disc, one little gem.
Oh, right.
Wherever.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, talked her out of it.
So you got to put out a plate. You got to put out a plate under the skin and you squeeze it.
Kind of. You pierce it and then the way that the jewelry is shaped, it's kind of like you've got a post straight up one and then like a flat base. One end is longer than the other, you know.
Okay.
So you kind of put the longer end first and then kind of pop the back end of it under that layer of skin. But it's just – they're just bad ideas, you know. So I focus more on talking people out of bad ideas. I bring them in for free consult. I show them this is why you don't want them. These are the pictures you should see, not the ones you're finding on the internet.
And
you're
not worried that that's like a bit self-defeating as like somebody who owns a business that you're telling people not to get like
– Well, yeah, I do. But you know what? The thing is that the $100 that I would charge for something like that – is not going to do anything for my credibility when
right.
It sucks ass and she's walking around town showing people this fucked up piercing that doesn't work, you know, for the $100 that gave me for that day, you know.
Tears it off that night at a nightclub or whatever.
Yeah, oh, well, for sure. Like... And yeah, exactly. And that's just, and I mean, and that's just, it's to be said too, like here, I mean, I'm buying the most expensive jewelry that you can buy on the planet and it's also the best. And I'm selling it at pretty much the same price that every other studio in town is doing their piercings for maybe $10, $15 more for a lot of them. Some of them are cheaper. Yeah, from a business perspective, it's kind of dumb. But I mean, at the same time, I got to be competitive and take less money home. But soon, word will get out there. You know, that's my goal. It's why we're all purple. Purple's the color of piercing. The purple handkerchief. That's something from, you know, the piercers have kind of taken over as the from the gay leather bar.
Yeah, that's a
hanky
fetish
code.
Thing, right?
Yeah.
Keith told me to ask about this, why this is actually going. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just it. And I kind of call the people who work here the purple prophets, because I kind of feel that
I'm noticing as you're saying this, you do indeed have a purple flag hanging out your backside.
In the left, yeah. The left means that's your dominant giver.
It's also
side.
The Crips side.
Okay.
The Crips adopted, like, gay fetish left side, right?
Well, you know, the Snoop Dogg song, you know, Drop It Like It's Hot. There's that lyric.
Do you have a brown handkerchief?
Keep a blue flag.
Oh.
Hanging out my backside, but only on the left side, because that's the Crip side.
Blue is the flag for anal sex. So.
That too. Now I know that. Have you ever seen Cruising?
I don't think so.
What?
You need to see Cruising.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, with Al Pacino. It was made by the guy who did The Exorcist and in about 1980. And it was supposed to, William Friedkin, and he thought this was like him being really super open to the gay community,
right?
And he's like, I'm gonna make this like really progressive movie, and it's just horrible. Like,
oh yeah,
And it's like it's Al Pacino as a cop, and he goes undercover in the fetish scene in like these leather bars and stuff, and one guy gives him the whole speech about what the different colored handkerchiefs mean. It's
nice.
The biggest thing. You gotta watch.
Wow, no.
Anybody who's listening to this, please watch Cruising. It's an amazing, amazing film.
Walter always takes time for his obscure 80s movie.
It's a great movie.
For once, it's not They Live.
I put it on a party once.
That's
left.
A great show, though. I was just, you know, Rowdy Roddy.
He was the They Live monster for Halloween.
Yeah? Nice. Good.
With the eyes, and it was such a problem.
It was a big problem.
So, I don't know. We're getting up towards that.
Are we?
We're getting close. We're already at 40 minutes.
Well, I got the question.
Do you have more? Do you have any questions you want to ask Pierce?
I got so many questions, but I don't. It's just like I don't want to drive this up. But no, this is.
Go ask.
I want to ask one thing, not necessarily about it pertaining to piercing, but
okay.
What you were mentioning before. I'm supposed to ask about the real Berlin?
The real Berlin.
Which part now? I mean,
all Keith told me is ask about the
ask
real
about
Berlin.
The real Berlin.
See,
I don't
know
what that means. If
those
that's
are
a
pretty
code
foggy. Now, were we talking about the club there, or?
Yeah. Well, I guess the lead in for that was there's no lead.
May I?
Since Walter just dropped it, was just sort of like in the world of I guess body modifications, fetish, extreme modifications, all that stuff. Been to a number of places. I remember your Berlin story. You don't need to tell that one, but if you have any like crazy stories, I mean, I'm sure like.
Well, it depends
like,
which
all,
one because like
definitely
I mean,
seen a lot more people's junk than Walter and I probably put together.
Yeah,
just,
for sure.
Like,
I watch
definitely
a lot of pornography.
But he's touched a lot of it.
All right. I was going to say I watched a lot of pornography again.
You know, actually, you bring up a good point, and that's something maybe I think I'd like to speak about, because a lot of people are like, oh, man, aren't you like, how do you contain yourself when you've got this beautiful man, woman, whatever, in front of you, and you're, you know, touching them to do a piercing, et cetera, et cetera. And I always find that question totally retarded. Sorry.
It's like a doctor.
There's a zone. Like, there's nothing. It doesn't matter whose nipple or, you know, penis, vagina, areas in between, you know what I mean, that you're touching to mark and pierce. There's just kind of like this level that I find anyway that I just don't, you know.
So
whatever.
In summary, you are claiming that you are not, in fact, a fiend.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Heard it first, kids.
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, I find the
Pat
question
Pierce,
silly. Yeah.
Not a fiend.
Not a fiend.
Not
I
a
mean,
fiend.
I might be a fiend at roller derby after parties with fellow officials and stuff.
But hopefully, you're not piercing people.
Yeah. No, I'm not piercing people at that time. You know. But no, it's just a funny thing. Like so many people, are like, oh man, you must be so. You know, so lucky to
you must have a heart on 24/7.
And it's like, trust me, it's, you know.
No.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know.
No.
And on top of that, too, like.
Putting holes into.
I'm relatively sure that the amount of nice ones really has to be counteracted by the amount of not nice ones.
Well, you know, I mean, it's.
Like, it is what it is. It's,
yeah,
you're
like,
not gonna
for sure.
Turn anybody away.
Yeah.
For every time that you're like, yeah, that was all right, you probably have plenty more in the bank that are, no, that was not cool.
I was actually shocked to see a non-circumcised penis in that book. I really was.
Huh.
Good for you for including that.
Well, I mean, it's even the one the ones that I did today, which is like through the whole thing, non-circumcised. A lot of them are
through the whole.
Oh, sorry. Not through the foreskin. No, God. Sorry.
Good Lord.
The Apadravia, the reverse Prince Albert, right. and the Prince Albert combo. Yeah.
So instead of just going through the skin, you're going
The foreskin does go back over top of that. You know, it does retract. It's.
Have you ever gotten requests for a foreskin piercing?
Oh, I have them. I have some in my portfolio.
Yeah. And that's the thing that can work.
Oh, totally. I guess there's no point in showing you the picture because people can't see it.
We'll link.
I'll link it.
It's like the site's gonna be forever NSFW, man. Like,
yeah.
I'll tell you about it later. The whole vagrant section is blocked by my thing because of John. You know the film's Sallow.
Now Keith is reading Sallow.
120 Days of Sodom.
I hate pro wrestling.
Yeah. Film by Mark Desad. One of our writers on the site wrote like probably one of the more comprehensive reviews of it ever.
Right.
But it just gets flagged by it gets flagged by so many filters.
Yeah. Of course.
Great double bill. Fun fact. Cruising and Sell.
Great
double feature.
So, yep.
Five questions!
Five questions.
I'm sorry,
five
I got
questions.
Loud.
Nice.
I'm excited.
I've been drinking
a little bit of Canadian Club during
this
podcast.
You've been hitting just the CC straight up, because we're not a Grumpy's rat.
My volume's starting to increase, I'm sorry.
There you go.
All right.
It's all right.
I'm gonna bust out the last question.
You're
gonna
bust out the what's the fourth question?
Whatever.
So it's three questions that we ask. We ask the same three questions to every guest.
Uh-oh.
Then we ask a fourth question, which is the question that the previous guest asked.
Okay.
So this case was Joey Elias from last week's episode or 2 weeks ago's episode. And then the fifth question is not a question. It's you asking a question into the future to our next guest.
Okay, I see.
So you can start thinking about
I don't know. Okay.
Now, do you remember any of the questions, Wilder?
No, I'm going to do the fourth question.
I know, because you don't know.
So I look smart.
We've been doing this.
Nice.
You've been doing this for fucking, this is I think like episode 24.
Wow. 23, 24. How often is it? Once a week?
We do 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's a long time.
We alternate with another podcast.
Okay.
It's pretty much the best podcast in town.
Nice.
I just want to throw it out there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily call it a comeback.
Okay. Sorry.
But.
No, actually, no. Don't call it a comeback
at all.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. enough of that silliness.
So anyway. First question. Now this is the best.
Oh jeez.
It's what was your favorite childhood plaything, like toy, book?
Huh.
Don't say your dick.
My ass.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. There you go. It's a long time. I don't know, man.
You gotta have something.
I don't know. Vague memories of Spider-Man. Maybe I had some sort of Spider-Man doll. It wasn't a doll back in those days. It was a figure. Vaguely remember something like that.
I just like vague memories of Spider-Man.
Vague memories of Spider-Man. You know,
like you need to go to therapy.
Yeah.
And have memories that you've suppressed.
No, those are not. Like,
show me on the doll where did Spider-Man touch you.
Spider-Man.
Regression therapy.
So we're going to say a Spider-Man doll? That's the only thing
Spider-Man
that's coming
through. Remember that one year at the mall they had Spider-Man instead of Santa?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
I felt the hand of Spider-Man.
We are laughing.
Question
the second.
Question number two is, what is your favorite drink, alcoholic or otherwise?
Jeez.
Favorite beverage?
Probably scotch, you know.
Scotch? Do you have a favorite scotch?
Kinda, sorta, not really. Because, I mean, I like Lagavulin, which is a great smoky, you know, that's the dark side. But I also like Cardhu, which is a great, it's the opposite. Nice, smooth, and, you know.
Scotch connoisseur.
Yeah, a little bit. Practiced a little bit.
I like the cheap one. The best, I think, you know what? I've been drinking a lot of Grants lately. I was telling Keith this. I like the mixes and shit. People tell me I'm not a purist because of it. I like Chivas, which is like a Scotch whiskey technically. I mean, it's a mix. But I like my 12-year-old Chivas. That's always nice. That's a good one.
Well, the thing is
Tullamore Dew. I had Tullamore Dew recently. That was delightful. Hmm. But I think that's.
Well, Cardew is actually it's impossible to find in Quebec. Well, I don't want to say impossible. Maybe it's hidden, but I don't think it's even available here. But if you go to Burlington on the way there, you can buy it for $35 for a liter, and it's actually the base of Johnny Walker, which is weird because I don't really like Johnny Walker that much. I'll drink it. But it's actually the base, but yet it's really hard to find. But it's amazing. It's a good Scotch.
Base? What do you mean the base?
Well, Johnny Walker's a blend, right?
Right.
So it's the main, like it's the biggest amount of Johnny Walker
What's the other thing that goes?
I have no idea. It's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that because I actually thought Cardew was extinct, and so did my cousin because he couldn't find it in Ottawa anymore.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. Yeah.
Cardew,
the Scotch.
Take a note of it.
Yeah, I will. I will.
It's amazing. It's a good Scotch to give to people who don't like Scotch because it's really, really mellow, like Dalwhinnie-esque kind of thing, you know. Oban as well is another really gentle one.
This podcast.
Yeah.
Now we're switching to the next week's podcast about
one, yeah.
Scotch.
Yeah.
Except we'll go to the bar and practice.
Go Scotch yourself.
Third question.
Third question
is
the third.
What's the best time you ever had? Most fun?
Jeez. I mean, now on this podcast, pretty much.
I don't think there's anything. Nobody's ever even like attempted to be like ironically flattering.
Yeah,
no one's ever pandered to us. Dude, I got farmer's whiskey, and you know, not to say that we're.
I'm only ever calling this farmer's whiskey. From now on, Ryan, just farmer's whiskey.
Yeah.
Canadian Club is farm. No, specifically Canadian Club.
Pass me the farmer's whiskey.
Give me some of that farmer's whiskey. Were farmers known to drink their fair share of CC?
Well, I know that before we had looked into the statistics in Saskatchewan.
You looked into
rye per
you
capita.
Up the books.
It's all Saskatchewan. It's a big thing there.
And with Don Draper from Mad Men. You watch Mad Men?
No. I saw like an episode or two.
To throw back to, you know what's going on there. Yeah. He always drank the CC.
CC.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they must be getting money from that show, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, for sure. It's the bottling company that is. And you notice that it's the same. The guy who drinks gin is Tanqueray.
I thought Canadian that was also Boardwalk Empire Canadian
Boardwalk,
Club.
Boardwalk
they
Empire
said,
was only the first season, and that was because Mad Men was off the air.
Really?
Interesting.
It was the season that now it's old Canadian whiskey.
Really?
It's not CC anymore. It's only season one where it was CC. Like, and it's because it was the season that Mad Men had off, so they guess they had a window in their advertising campaign or whatever else like that. So the best time you ever had was this podcast?
Yeah,
bullshit.
I would say
this
so.
Bullshit.
No, we're going with it. That's the answer given. That's the answer taken.
It's been to like fucking international fetish parties and whatever else like that. No, this podcast. Fuck you.
Hey, man, it's just, you know, with...
We're drinking whiskey out of purple glasses. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of plastic purple cups.
You're sitting on a delightful purple
I can't think of a
couch.
Better time, man.
Yeah, totally.
So we don't go to question
four. Beer, so.
Yeah. I think we're going to question the fourth.
Yeah, he's two-fisting it.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it.
Of course.
In the classiest way possible.
Yeah.
So our fourth question comes courtesy of our last guest, Joey Elias, premier Montreal comic, Joey Elias.
Yeah.
And it's, I think we had to help him coalesce this question.
A little bit, yeah. I remember being.
Do you remember it now?
Canadian.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not actually at all. You're totally wrong.
Oh,
yeah.
All of his answers were Canadian.
I know, but this was the one thing that wasn't Canadian specifically.
Okay.
Okay. So, as my girlfriend texted it to me like 20 all right, minutes
so,
ago.
So if this is wrong, Joey. I apologize.
No, it's not wrong. I remember it now. What is the best bar game?
Oh shit! Yeah.
You've ever played that's made you money, i.e. what's the best way to make money in a bar? You know, like quarters or like stupid bar bets or shit like that.
I bet you
know,
I
or
could.
Like trick bets where you know that you could only win shit like that. Like what's the best?
Like you're like you walk into a bar, you're like, I don't have any money to drink. I'm gonna hustle someone out of some cash.
Okay,
how do you do it?
I've never played a bar game.
You're changing the question again.
Yeah, seriously, what's up here?
I'm sorry, it's been a while. I'm sorry.
It's true, we haven't done that.
I get upset. I get upset sometimes at Keith when he changes the question.
Fuck. Okay.
I'm gonna calm down now.
Am I supposed to the one that I think or the one that I've done?
Let's go with done.
Let's go with done.
Yeah.
But maybe
I think because I've never really done.
Yeah, you well, know? That's what I felt the problem with that question might be.
Yeah, you know,
Elias
the only thing
that
very
different
bars, you know,
than we do.
Yeah, I'm not a...
But he's a poker guy, right? So, like, he probably can fucking card shirt the shit out of people. Yeah.
But, like, probably. I mean, have you ever, like, done anything, like, or done, like a... Or initiated a bar bet or anything like that?
I mean, I've suggested glory holes before, you know, as
fuck
a
it,
means...
That's the answer now.
You know?
Let's
yeah.
go into this. Now, when you say suggested glory holes, you mean let's go in the back with a drill, or?
Well, you know, just tried to coerce people, you know, to perhaps, you
or if
know.
You've stumbled upon a glory hole.
No.
No.
No. No. Mind you. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's an idea. I think it's a good way, you know, really. It's just like you got to do it impromptu. You
right.
know what I mean? Have I convinced somebody, you know?
Hole.
Yeah.
$5 to get in the stall. Get your dick sucked.
Well, it depends. I mean, it's what kind of glory hole you're setting
up. Who does the money go to?
You got to have a... No, I'm not going to go there.
The way
I'm not going to make that motion.
The way I would set up a glory hole would be $5, you go into the stall, you get your dick sucked.
I would say, yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
and whoever's sucking the dick is just someone who wants to suck dick. And don't have to tell the guy if it's a guy or a girl or whatever, hence the glory hole. So, like, maybe the guy's getting sucked off
It'd
by
be the
dude.
Worst if you did it, like, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you stood there for, like, a half hour, you're dick in a hole, just, like, waiting. Just waiting. Like,
no, that's it.
Someone show up.
The guy on the take would be the guy doing the dick sucking. So I'd find someone who really likes to suck dick, be it a guy or a girl, and then have them in the other stall, and then charge money for the guy getting his dick sucked.
What if it was
a
fisting-themed glory hole, though?
Jesus.
So is it like you have to put your fist?
Well,
in
you'd
the
have to make it a little bit bigger, I'd imagine.
Someone's asshole, or but then
you
who,
don't know though, because it's right.
Again, you really like need how, to watch you know? Cruising. Like I feel like we keep touching on cruising topics here, and it's such a good movie.
So you're sort of like you're gonna shove your fist into something.
You just don't know what.
$5, take it or leave.
I feel like you're just going to end up punching a guy in the ass a whole bunch, though. Like,
or just...
Like, all right, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, I'm going to do it now.
Why do I hear donkey noises from the other side? Whatever, just shove your fist
just
in
do
there.
Do it.
Shove your fist in there. Have you... This is, like... You brought up fisting. I was reading an article about...
don't drag me into this.
He brought up fisting. Have you ever read or heard of a place, I think it's in Germany, called like, might be Germany, might be France. Like
they're fisting Bonanza.
Yeah, yeah. No, like La Fisterie or whatever.
La Fisterie? Fisterie.
I'm not even kidding. It's a fucking like fisting shrine. Like of this like a bed and breakfast style place where it's like people go and.
Come for the omelet
like,
bar
extreme,
and the fisting.
Yeah, really. Extreme anal stretching and like all this various apparatus and various fucking like. Supports and slings and all this shit.
Wow.
I saw pictures of it and watched like a clip about the place.
Yeah,
I bet you watched
a bunch of clips.
Yeah. No, that's it, but it was like Vice Magazine did the clip.
Okay.
They didn't
right,
see
nice.
Any of it in use. Like,
yeah,
it was
yeah,
just like,
yeah, yeah,
it was
of course.
Like, here's the apparatus. I'm sure that if you wanted to go a little bit deeper, you could probably find most of it.
Literally.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. I was like, shit, Pierce maybe heard of this. It fucked up, though. Like, just like extreme... Fucking anal stretches and stuff. Just awful. Awful.
It's a good episode.
So we're going to say the best way to make money in a bar, Pat Pierce style, is glorial.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just
putting,
the first
down,
one that came to mind.
Putting down
I
some
mean,
money on a glory hole wager.
Sure.
I like it.
Yeah.
Totally, like, because I think really, you know, if it's a bar where there's dudes in the bar... They're always horny, and a glory hole is always the solution for horny dudes. I'm
Are
sure
you
of
horny,
it.
Horny, a glory hole is always the solution.
Yeah.
Now, the fifth question we put on you, and we open up the floor to you.
Uh-huh.
Any question you want for our next guest, but, you know, just following up on the theme here of the episode so far, I would like to suggest that your question be... What is your greatest glory hole experience? Because I think that's really going to be, you know, open to any potential guest. You know, I don't see any guest that's not going to have an answer.
Well,
for that.
I would actually say maybe more so define your idea of your greatest glory hole experience.
So it could be a figurative or literal.
Well, yeah, because
glory
you know some people might not want to go on the record about participating.
So you're like,
you know,
up
it leaves
to,
a little mystery in the answer. Is it real? Is it not?
Like, is it dirty?
Well, it doesn't, you never know.
Like, is it a classy establishment?
Yeah, like, who are you lining up?
Are you blindfolded?
Lotteries are kind of like glory holes, if you think about it.
Lotteries?
Lotteries in general.
No, because
yeah.
In well, a glory no, hole, you're pretty likely to get off.
I don't know.
See, that doesn't know.
You know, I saw this TV show, and there was this episode.
Was it Glory Hole Confidential?
Yeah, almost.
It's a new A&E show.
But there was like there was a guy. I think it was The Shield, and there was an episode.
Michael Chiklis?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that show. I don't know why, but I just liked it. You know. There was an episode where a guy was putting rat traps on people who were sticking their wieners in the glory hole. Yeah.
You know, rat traps cut the heads off of the rats, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't cut the heads off, breaks the neck.
I don't know if that was happening. They didn't go into detail.
Yeah.
So, fifth question, Pat? Is that
fifth? Okay. Yeah.
No, that your question.
I don't mean to shove a question on you.
I think it's a good one. You know, define. You know your.
Define your
you know,
dream.
Your dream glory.
You know the movie Rushmore? You ever see Rushmore?
No.
Help me out here.
Wes Anderson.
The Wes Anderson film.
Max Fisher.
The whole point
Jason
is because the Rushmore in that film is his private school, and it's his whole life. It's what he lives for.
He's being intentionally held back.
You gotta find.
Right.
You gotta find your Rushmore.
Uh huh.
So I think from this, it's what's your glory hole? You know.
Define your glory
hole. What is your glory hole? Yeah. When do you just stick it in there and hope for the best?
Exactly. That's good. That's
this
a good
is what
interpretation.
I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The glory hole.
Walter just cheers to himself.
I sure hope.
Everyone just stared at him. What?
Sure hope my suburban family and local family clients don't listen to your show. That's for sure.
Yeah, your suburban family might read my articles.
Yeah, hey, you, Walter.
No.
Nope.
Can't. Don't do it.
Really?
No.
Sure?
Yeah.
All right. You've said your full name on the podcast.
We'll just make tangential references.
Oh, okay. So that was five questions, which is usually where we wrap up. We just want to close up, I guess, with like plugs and stuff like that. Like in the not piercing front. Plugs, as in we're going to put plugs,
plugs in your ears.
Walter's ears.
Yeah.
Because he has great lobes.
Yeah, totally.
Do
reveal
it, Walter.
On this podcast.
Do it, Walter.
Yeah.
Get pierced. So, you know, shop open, what are the opening hours?
Okay, they're odd and unusual because I scheduled initially to accommodate roller derby, which, isn't happening at the moment for me. But, okay, Sundays and Mondays, we are closed. That's our weekend. Tuesdays, we're open from 12 to 6, Wednesdays, 12 to 7, Thursday, Friday, 1 to 9, Saturday, 12 to 7.
All right.
Yeah.
Trying to put them down. And you're
it's a lot of time,
13,
eh? Sorry, yeah.
1316.
1316 St. Catherine Street East.
Across the street from Pre-Ep.
Yeah, Pre-Ep and the Eagle. I mean, for people who don't know that, it's one block east of Beaudry Metro. Very conveniently located. In the nice part of the village. It's nice here. It's
in
safe,
the nice
people.
Part of the village.
It's
well,
safe.
Your establishment certainly is. I want to say that, at least. I'm here now. I'm looking around. I'm liking the color scheme. I'm liking the exposed brick.
Yeah, that's a lot of people like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic.
We actually had to reconfigure this place because I didn't want my piercing room or my tattooing areas against this wall because
that makes sense.
The dust is crumbling. And I mean, we've already done stuff to prevent the dust off of that. But yeah.
I have to admit, I was wondering about that. I was looking over here and I was like, I was wondering if the mortar.
Yeah,
never like crumbles a little bit, but no.
Oh, actually,
but no,
in
for
fact,
the record, it doesn't, ladies and gentlemen. It's completely blocked off from.
Also, the piercing room is
the patients.
Super far away.
Well,
like,
it's
very.
See, to be a member of the Association of Professional Piercers, if I offer tattooing or non-piercing services in my studio, I need 8-foot walls at a minimum separating them, which makes sense. It's just a contamination thing.
Yeah.
That's why. Well, that's not only why. I mean, also, too, I need certain levels of privacy in my room. And for sure, that's why I have my separate room there. And that is another thing, listeners. I am probably the only active member of the Association of Professional Piercers in Montreal. And
heard of your first, kids.
There is another member in town, but I know that they're not...
actively piercing?
Correct. They're out of the country at the moment.
Here's my last question.
And that's the only other
Here's my last question for the podcast. How do you hang diplomas on an exposed brick wall.
What's
the message going
don't
on?
Tell
here?
Well, don't tell him.
It's yeah, I'm not sure. Like, it's a pretty crazy.
This looks involved.
It is, and that's why it's such a bizarre. Like, we were actually pounding before I had a hammer drill. We're pounding nails into
the mortar.
Into the mortar. Yeah.
Still seems kind of like a pain in the ass.
Am I right? Yeah, totally. Because you got to find the right spot. You got to find. Yeah. Those will crumble. Yeah. Now I got a hammer drill on sale. Canadian Tire, super cheap. Oh, wait, sorry. Oh,
You've been listening to Go Plug Canadian Tire. Yeah,
exactly. I revoked that plug. I don't want to be
plugging Canadian
sued.
Tire?
Yeah.
No, I love Canadian Tire. Canadian Tire is, to me, the best store in the world because if and when there's a zombie apocalypse, everything you need is a Canadian Tire. Americans are fucked. They don't have Canadian Tire.
Canadian Tire
sucks. But the problem is the service sucks there, though.
No,
like, if you
but
need,
you're
no.
rating
you
it
know?
In this post-apocalyptic world. Really? No, you know? Can you think of another place that has, like...
Every other place.
You're going to Mexico.
Literally every other place.
All the hardware stores. When I was in Mexico last
year...
Camping
equipment.
Dude, all sorts of machetes. Cheap.
Walmart.
Cheap.
Walmart. Just go to Walmart.
Everyone's going to go to Walmart.
True.
There's not that many Walmarts, though, as there are Canadian
Tires. Not the good ones like they have in the U.S.
The good ones.
They're the good ones. I don't give a shit what you say.
I think we should be wrapping up the show.
We should just be cutting
it off. We just digress and just talking about
let's just
Walmart.
Start,
Canadian
here's why Walmart's better than the Canadian Tires.
This is Go Plug Yourself.
Been Go Plug Yourself.
We were with our guest, Pat Pierce.
Who literally plugs people.
I do.
Literally plugs people. Love to have you on again at some point, too.
Sense.
Hopefully.
This is fun.
For sure.
I enjoyed this. I have so many more questions.
Next time we can talk about the weird stuff I do, not just piercing.
Yeah.
Mind you.
Get into the freaky shit.
Yeah, let's get the weird.
I think this warrants a sequel episode.
Cuts the brand. That stuff.
I'm Walter. Thanks, Pat Pierce. Thank you.
Let's even fuck it. That motherfucker goes to the dog, an animal, it's a little motherfucker. I ain't saw it, they need to fuck it. It's a kid of wood, they're dead, they're fucking with a leg, it's a good food. What do you need to give up? I ain't carrying a fucking
deal. Hey everyone, it's me again, wasting your time at the end of the podcast where it doesn't matter anyways. Look, if you're a fan of the show and the site in general, please take the time to like us on Facebook. We are number9to5dotcc, 9to5.cc on Facebook. And also follow us on Twitter. We're @number9to5cc on Twitter. So and also be sure to check back on the site for something on Mondays, probably. We have Zombies and Loathing After the Bomb usually on Tuesdays. We have a new comic in 9to5 Illustrated every Wednesday. A new podcast every week, usually on Thursday. It's either going to be a 9ES or a Go Plug Yourselves. And on Fridays, we have Fine Arts with either Sophie and Scott. And you know, maybe John will even contribute one of his mega articles at some point, too. You can only hope. All right, thanks.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.